And just want to welcome you again here on a Thursday night. Last week, as we were going, we started a new chapter in James, and we got through the first verse in James chapter 3, encouraging us in the Word of God how we need to witness. The very first verse of here in chapter 3 of James, it says, "Brethren, let not many masters or teachers, knowing that we receive a greater condemnation." And that wasn't, James wasn't talking to us in a way that was meaning to prevent us from witnessing or prevent us from being teachers. He was telling us, we are teachers, all right? And we need to be careful how we use, how we teach, what we teach, where we teach. And make sure that we stay in the proper doctrines when we teach. Because if we teach the wrong doctrine, we will be in great condemnation. We'll be under a stricter judgment because to those whom much is given, much is required. Right? And we have the full canon of Scripture, and we should know the Scripture as a life vessel or a lifeline to everything we do and say. And so, as James was telling us this last week as we were in this portion of Scripture, he's not discouraging us to teach, but he's encouraging us when we teach to teach properly. Amen? Don't let many be teachers. But Jesus told us in the Great Commission, "Go ye," that who are ye? That's all of us. "Go y'all into how many nations?" All of them doing what? Teaching. Amen. So Jesus commanded us to teach. So James is not contradicting what Jesus said. James is telling us to be careful what we teach and when we teach it. And so in looking at this in this particular scripture here, we'll know that he's talking about these things for the following verses that he talks about. And he's coming up here pretty soon talking about the tongue. It says in verse 2, "For in many things we offend in all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, we also, the ships, though they be great, are driven by fierce winds, and yet they are turned about with a very small rudder or helm, whether so governeth Liston. And even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." It says that in verse 6 that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. "So is the tongue among its members, that it may defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell." And so we're going to talk about those verses there tonight. I just wanted to read that and get us an idea of where we're going. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless or thank Him for blessing His Word. Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for the truths that You hold in the Word of God, that You've given us an ability to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Father, You've created in us a need to know and a desire to teach. And Lord, we just ask that You would come tonight, that You would show us the things that need to be taught, that we would grasp the things that You want to say to the church, and that we could relax inside of the truths that You hold. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this evening, we're going to be talking about the tongue, as you saw as we were looking through. Here's just some things that I wrote, that I looked up on the internet about the tongue. These are just some scientific facts about your tongue. All right? And so it says that the tongue is one of the smallest organs in the body. It's only 60 to 70 grams in weight. But it has the potential to kill and do all kinds of evil. Maybe that's why God placed it behind or in a cave behind bars. Did you notice that? Your tongue is in a cave and it's behind bars, which are your teeth. So God meant it to be contained, that we should really care about what we say. It is a muscle covered with a mucous membrane and is full of deadly bacteria. There's an estimated million different types of microscopic critters that live and abound on your tongue. They're really very dangerous. You don't find most of these bacteria, you can't find anywhere else in the planet except on your tongue. Isn't that scary? You know, it's Dr. David R-E-L-M-A-N, real man. He's an assistant professor of medicine and microbiology at Stanford University. He found 37 unique bacteria, dangerous bacteria, that thrive in the human mouth, which exists nowhere else on the planet. There's another doctor here in Buffalo, or he was a while back. His name is Dr. Alan D-I-R-I-N-N-A-N. Durain? Sounds good to me. Dr. Durain. He's a professor of oral medicine at State University of New York in Buffalo. And he says, it's really no big surprise. This is a quote for him. It's really no big surprise that there are many bugs in the human mouth which only exist there. Which, he said, it cannot grow in verto. And that I had to look up what that means. I don't know what inverto means. You can't grow them in a lab. That's really what it says. You can't grow it in a petri dish. It only grows in your mouth. These viruses, they cause disease. The top of the tongue is the main breeding ground for most of these bacteria, which attack the teeth and the gums. And the white blood cells from another person's saliva will attack once it's inside of your mouth. You're better off than licking a dog's tongue than a human's tongue. Dog's mouth contain enzymes which fight infection, where humans' mouths have enzymes or viruses that actually kill. Okay, and so that's his quote, and I thought it was a neat thing to put. But this is not really what James is talking about here in the Word of God. But that's just a little bit of information for you to carry home tonight. What James is really speaking about in this text is the tongue is connected spiritually to the heart. And it will disclose the true person when it's given enough time. You understand that? If you really, really want to know about somebody, hang out and talk with them. If you really want to know, because eventually your tongue's going to let your heart show who you really are. You know, and so it tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37, this is Jesus speaking, a good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Knowing this, what and how we speak, using our tongues becomes very important, okay? When you look at what Jesus said about the tongue, that we're going to give an account on the day of judgment, on the words that we speak, how we use them, if we speak graciousness or if we speak condemnation. The Bible has a lot to talk about lying, about backbiting, about gossip. And those are all things controlled or spoken by your tongue, controlled by your heart. And Jesus is saying that here that the truth of a human being will come out of his mouth. What is in the heart will come spewing out of the mouth sooner or later. And if you're a vile, wicked person inside of your heart, you'll know it in just a little bit of time. I mean, you'll know it. Even if you come off the first week that you know somebody and it's all good and sugary, right? Anybody here date anybody at any amount of time? The first couple of months when you see them, oh, ain't it sweet? Ain't it special? Right, you spend a little bit of time with him, you say, oh, well, you know, not everything that he spoke in the beginning is true in his character. Okay, and so the mouth is very important, the tongue. And as James points out here, he says in verse 2, for in many things we offend in all, and if man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or a mature man, and he's able to bridle his whole body. See, when a human being is able to control what they say, and how do you think you're able to control what you say? You think about it before you speak it. Amen? I have a big problem with that. Who here has noticed it? Amen? I love to see the hands. Yeah. Y'all just lift up your hands. It's okay. I understand. This is something God's working on me about. You know, I've not arrived. Amen. I am not alone. And so it tells us that for many things we offend in all. It says, We're going to sin. We're going to fall short in a lot of different areas in our life. Okay, in the way we teach, sometimes especially in teaching, you'll teach something that you firmly believe in, but it's doctrinally incorrect. Okay, I've been guilty of that. And what makes a man mature is when somebody comes up to you and says, you know, pastor, brother, friend, what you are teaching really doesn't line up with the Word of God. And if you're humble enough to say, wow, show me that and let me learn, then you're growing. Now, if you're arrogant enough to say, nope, I'm right no matter what you say, blah, 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 you know, then you're ignorant and you'll not grow any further than you are. You know, because God's Word is there for reproof, it's for correction, and for the edifying of the body. And so, and many things will offend, but if a man offend not in his word, the same is a perfect man, and he's able to bridle the whole body. Who here has something that they have a hard time containing in their body? Now, I do. You know, whether it's a thought, whether it's a vice or something like that. Well, if you start, here's the real kicker. If you can learn how to control your tongue, then you can learn how to control that vice. Amen? You know, all of us mess up in word at one time or another, right? And what you would say around your friend or your neighbor, you may not say in front of the pastor or a deacon, right? You know, I'm out by, not I, but somebody would be out. God controlled my tongue, controlled the swearing in my tongue a long time ago. I don't curse anymore. I used to curse all the time. But when I got saved, that was one of the things the Lord really took from me pretty quickly is talking nasty. All right? And so, but if you don't have that conviction, if you haven't gotten there yet, when you talk to your neighbor, you probably just throw out some words. Okay? Expletives. You'll throw out some expletives from time to time. You know, that would be offensive to some, right? Or maybe not. In the world, it might not be offensive. But if your pastor, if a deacon was there, if you let it slip, what would you do? Ooh, I'm sorry, pastor. I didn't mean to say that word in front of you. Now, wait a second. Okay, come on. That really doesn't matter all that much, you know, because if you're going to say it to your neighbor, you might as well say it to your pastor too, all right, because you've said it before God anyhow, all right, so God's going to be the one that judges you, not your pastor. Now, if you can control it for the 15 minutes that you're around your pastor, you ought to be able to control it for the rest of your day, amen, all right, and so that's what James is talking about here. If you're able to do this, then that man is a perfect. He's able to bridle his whole body. You're able to control everything. And then he gives us these simple little ideas here. Everybody knows about a bit in a horse's mouth, right? It's just a metal bar that goes in past the teeth, it holds down the tongue of the horse. It goes right against his tongue. And if you want the horse to go one way, you tug it, and that horse's head will go that way. You know why? It hurts. Okay? It hurts. I'm going to go that way to relieve the pressure. If you're an ox, there's goads. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you kick against the goads? It's my way that I'm trying to direct you. And so he's given us a picture that we can control a 1,500-pound animal with a small metal rod in his mouth. Okay? You ever think of that? A horse, how much more powerful is a horse than a man? I mean, a horse will drag you around all day long. Who here has been horseback riding? I know you have. Have you ever had one of those horses that were just stubborn? Okay? Now, if you gave in to that horse, it would just do what it wanted to. If you gave in this much, it would do exactly what it wanted to. But if you show it that you have the reins and you can turn it enough, it will stop what it's doing because it doesn't like it. It's the bit in the horse's mouth. And we can control a large animal like that with a small little piece of metal. And he talks about these ships in verse 4. Behold, also the ships, though they are so great. And you think of the sea-going vessels that are out there now that are just huge. I mean, they're like 3 or 4 football fields long and 2 football fields wide. And they control which direction the ship is going by a small rudder in comparison to the size of the ship. I mean, the ship may be 500 feet long, but the rudder's only about 4 or 5 foot. Okay, and you can do that with a helm, you know. Nowadays, I know that they have the water propulsion because I looked at that and they said nowadays they really don't use that kind of stuff anymore, you know. On the big boats, they got, anyhow, useless information you pick up from the internet. That's all that was. And so, anyhow, but In this time, that the ships were controlled by the rudder, and they're driven by force winds, but they're turned by a very small rudder. Whosoever, wheresoever the governor listeneth, or wherever the pilot wants to bring the ship, he can do it. He says in verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member, but it most boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now think of that in words. I can start a little gossip, right? Y'all have seen, I saw Leona the other day. Oh my goodness. Y'all have seen what she was doing. Gossip, gossip, gossip. Okay, and I tell it to you, right? And then you tell it just to two of your closest friends. All right, I just told you, to two of your closest friends. Those two friends, they tell it to two of their closest friends, which tells it to six of their closest friends. And all of a sudden, because Leona's hair or glasses were a little crooked or whatever, I'm just making this up. Yeah. I'm just making this up, Leona. You're fine. Don't think about that. But I take this little thing that I said about her, a little bitty, innocent bit of gossip. It wasn't nothing. But once it starts to spread, oh, how great a fire it makes. Oh, what a great problem or lives it can destroy. I mean, by the time you get to the end of the town in Caledonia, it would happen pretty fast. Okay, so you started on one end of town in Caledonia, say, rah, 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 and before you know it, it goes across town, and all of a sudden, Leona, she was selling crack in the backyard in a bikini in a snowstorm, you know? And so, it's a great fire that comes out of a little nothing because we did not control what the first person said. How we control what we say, and especially about what we say in the body of Christ, about the body of Christ, is very important. The tongue is little in its members, but it boasts great things. And behold, how great a little matter kindles a great fire. Even when it was talking, well, in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a word, a world of iniquity. A world of iniquity. The tongue, this little thing right here, is a world of sin is held in the mouth. Yeah, did you ever think of that? Did you ever think that one word could change everything? When you're talking to somebody, out of all the things that was dumped on us kids when we were growing up, all the unnecessary punishments and all the weird things that happened in the house, the things that hurt and stuck with me more than anything else was the words that were said to me. The things that scarred me and wounded me the deepest were the words that were said. Not the beatings that I endured. The scars healed. The bruises went away. But the words, they stick with you. And I still deal with some of those things today. I'm 50 years old now. And still, things that were said to me when I was 10 years old, man, they kill still. You ever heard that story, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you? That's a lie. That's a lie. Words kill because it sinks deep within. And it will ruin who you know that you can be because you'll believe what somebody else says about you. So when we speak to folks, we're the body of Christ is to edify one another. Do you know what that means, to edify? That means I lift up. I always talk good about you, no matter what. No, I really don't. No. What we need to do in the body of Christ is always talk good about one another. Sure, are there bad things that we could pick on? Yes. Yes, there are always things that we could pick on. But we're not called to do that. We're called to build one another up, to edify one another, to help each other further in the furtherance in the gospel. And if we don't do that, we're going to be judged by God in that day. And we need to pay close attention to that. We talked about the bits and the horse mouses and the ships are controlled by a small beam. The tongue sets a course when it is set. It cannot be reversed. Did you know that? Yeah. If I punch you in the arm, I can say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Right? I accidentally hit you. But once I speak a word out, you cannot take the word back. And it's frightening. I was going to say it's awesome, but no, it's frightening. Because often we speak without any thought of what our words will do. You know, and so when you're just blabbing off words like that, it's a very frightening thing. In fact, it tells us in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Did you hear that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. By the way I speak, it will either bring forth life or it will cause death, you know, in another person. That's why it tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Did you hear what he said? Let how much corrupt communication? None. None. Control what you say, especially when you're talking about, well, anybody. I'm kind of pointing toward the body because I don't like gossip in the body. But even when we talk about the lost, okay, what we're doing in the parade this year, not what we don't like, but what we do like. Instead of the body of Christ talking about drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual perversion, all that kind of the stuff that we don't like, well, let's start pointing out the things that we do like. What are we called to do? Not the things that we're not supposed to do. Well, what we're not supposed to do is judge the unsaved. All right? Now, we can judge in the body right here because we're all held to the same standard, the Word of God. We're Christian. All right? And because I'm a Christian and you're a Christian, I can say, hey, Deb, I love you, but, you know, or you can say, hey, Curtis, I love you. But here's what the Word of God says, and here's what you're doing. They're not lining up. We got to make an adjustment here. Curtis, either you're right and God's wrong, or God's right and you're wrong. Guess which one that is? You know? And you can do that. I'm your pastor, but if I am wrong, you have the authority to do that. All right? And you do it in love, and you do it in compassion. You do it with kindness. But we're let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And it says right after that, but that which is good in the use of edifying, that it may minister grace into the hearts. So when we speak good to people, when we speak life into their life, we're ministering the grace of God into somebody else's life. You know, it's so easy to hurt people with your words. And to speak with a heart of grace and humility will build folks up to help them to go further. And don't pick scabs. That's how I've said it before. We don't pick scabs here. What we try to do is build the righteousness of Jesus Christ in people's lives. If you'll flip your Bible over to Proverbs, I like Proverbs because it's got a lot to say about the tongue. Amen. Y'all here at Sunday school, have we not talked a lot about the tongue? Here? No, it's Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. That's what I have written down here. Proverbs 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 6. Verses 16 through 19. It says, oh yeah, six things doeth the Lord hate. Wow, did you see that? How many things God hates? Six, all right. Yea, and seven are an abomination to him. That means the seventh thing is an abomination. He hates a lot of stuff, but one thing's really getting his crow. You know, one thing's really got under his skin. A proud look is something that God hates. A lying tongue, wow, speaking about the tongue, that's something God hates. Hands that shed innocent blood is something that God hates. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, God hates that. Feet that are swift and running to mischief, God hates that. A false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The last one, he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know that's a sin of the tongue? How do I sow discord among the brethren? Talking about, you should have seen what they were doing. Man, I went to a barbecue over at their house, and they were drinking Schlitz malt liquor. Jane! Right? I opened up their refrigerator, and they had a half bottle of Jack Daniels in there. Oh, goodness. Hell's going to fall down on that house. Hold on, people. Calm down. Take a deep breath. I'm not saying that drinking alcohol is good. It is not. Okay? But the way that I handle that could be done good or bad. If I do that to cause discord, you ought to have seen the way they dressed at church the other day. Y'all have seen that? There's a lady that came in, and she had on a pink boa and purple pants and slippers. Okay? Sowing discord. And who knows? That may have been the very best a woman had to, or guy or whoever, had to wear. Right? It may have been the very best they had to wear. I love the socks. And so, it may have been the very best that they had. And we have no right to point our finger and laugh at them about that. We don't have any right to start discord or start tearing apart the body for something so foolish as that. All the other things, God says, I hate it. I hate it when you lie. I hate it when you shed innocent blood. But I tell you what, you know what's an abomination to me? Somebody that comes into the church and starts messing things up. I tell you what, I don't want to be on any side of that, but I definitely don't want to be on the abomination side of God. All right, God says, and that in verse 19 that is used, twice words are used for lying, or three times used, well, twice lying is used, and the things that God hates, and the seventh that is an abomination, which causes discourse, is discourse among the brethren, which most times is done with the tongue. It's what we say, it's what we do. In verse 6 of James chapter 3, the tongue has the power to build up or to tear down. We've been talking about that. It says in verse 6, but you are, you have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you? That's 2. I looked over and I just went to verse 6 because my tag was there. And so verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among its members, that which defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and sets on fire, on fire of hell. Wow. God is saying here that what you say sets hell on fire. Did you hear that? Hell on fire. And Gehenna, the fire never goes out there. And God is saying through his brother, half-brother James, he's saying that the way we use our words is actually as bad as hell. We can destroy people with our tongue. And you know, has anybody got a tongue lashing or is very sharp to speak? You know somebody like that? Do you know, when you get into a conversation with them, boy, they cut you. Boy, I can cut you down. You know something? Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Because you don't have to use a cuss word to do this. You know, if you, in fact, I tell people that curse a lot, they just have no real knowledge of the English language. Because if you did, you could use much better words than swear words. But the way that you use your tongue, the way that you can cut down a person's personality, a way that you can ruin somebody's confidence, and it's worse than sending somebody to hell, or as bad. It sets on fire the fires of hell. Something, and I hate to keep talking about me, but I'm the only person I know that I can talk about this stuff. When I was a young kid, and I just started in choir, right? It was a big deal for me because I didn't do a lot of good stuff in school. I wasn't an athlete. I didn't play sports or nothing like that. And so I was singing in the hallway, and the choir director, Hal Sheeler, heard me sing, and he says, "You got to be in choir." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, you come." I said, "You know, I'm a little old for, I'm not really in the fifth, I'm in the fifth grade, but I'm old enough to be like in the eighth grade. You know, are you sure you want me in there?" He said, "Sure. You just come on, you just join the choir, and we'll make things work." And was in the choir that year, and I lettered in Varsity Singers. Okay? That's a big accomplishment for a flunk out. Right? And I lettered in Varsity Choir. I lettered in that. I wasn't even old enough to be in the Varsity Choir. I was in the wrong grade, but he put me up in there and allowed me to letter in that and gave me some great confidence. Well, as I was doing this, and I was thinking I was all right, my stepfather, I was at home, and I had my letter, and I was all excited for you. He said, "Sing something for me." I said, "All right, I'll sing something for you." I started singing, and he cut me down, and he shut me up. It was years before I sang another note. I quit because of what one man said, you know? And I dropped out of choir and never sang a note until I got born again and started singing for Jesus, you know? And so let you know what one word can say. You know, you're in a crowd You're in your living room. Your sisters are there. Your mom's there. And the guy and relatives, stuff like that. And he laughs at you. Zipped it up, shut it off. Who knows? I may have even graduated high school if that wouldn't have happened. Could have stayed in school. But anyhow, because of that, it just ruined every bit of self-confidence I had. That lets you know the power of the word. And he didn't make a big speech. It was just a word. A sneer, a laugh. And so the power, you can either build somebody up or you can destroy them. It defiles, it sets on fire the course of nature, and it's on fire of hell. Verses 7 and 8, when he's talking about, you know, every kind of beast, of bird, and of serpent, and of the things of the sea is tamed, and it hath been tamed by mankind. You understand that? You know, the beluga whales, you know, they can train those things, jump up. Anyone ever been to SeaWorld or saw it on National Geographic or something, and they take a porpoise and it's jumping in the air and flipping, and you got seals balancing balls. You know, in the ocean, there are no brightly colored balls that seals can balance on their nose. Right? So they had to be trained. So you took an animal out of the wild and you trained them to do stupid human tricks, you know, for money. And so we can train animals to do anything, anything that you want to. But in verse 8, but the tongue no man can tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Be careful what you say and how you say it, because it really does matter. It matters how you say things. And here's a poem. It's by an unknown author, but it's just a thing that I found on the entire net today. He says, don't be fooled regarding one's tongue, for in it is the power to bring life and death. Before you doubt these words of wisdom, pay close attention and catch your breath. Before allowing an idle word to touch the ground, know this: we are accountable to where they are found. For everything we say will be judged on that day. So remember to think before what you say. Our reckoning will come on that judgment day. Refining every word with thought and prayer. Speak no evil or curse into the air. For God's very presence surrounds each soul, and His love is in complete control. The undisciplined tongue wags out of control and it spews out venom of poison and no care for the soul. Gossip and slander flows through the air, lying and boasting. Oh God, He really cares. He hears and so give praise to God to the things of God and speak life in love into the air. For on judgment day, you all know God truly cared about every word that was cast into the air. God cares about every word that you put out. We'll be judged on that day, the day of judgment. And it's probably somebody who reads poetry could do. There's a whole thing that goes with that. I don't know. What's that called, a meter? You know, I had a fella in here the other day. He read the meter as gas meter, but I didn't know how to do poems with it. And anyhow, but that's the way that the poem read. And if you think about what he says in this poem, it's so true. We need to give regard to our tongue. And because in the tongue is the power of life and of death, before you just toss out idle words, think about what you're going to say before allowing an idle word to touch the ground. That made sense to me. You know, before you let an idle word come out of your mouth and fall to the ground, God surrounds every soul. He hears every word. He knows every thought. And He wants us to be considerate with the words we use. Think of how we speak before we speak. And I'm not talking to y'all as much as I am talking to me, because anybody who's been here for more than just 1 or 2 weeks knows that I am weak in this area. I blabble sometimes. I just let things come out without any real thought. Amen? Yeah, I hear it. I see thumbs going up and stuff. And I want you to know I guess I ought to say this, because if I have offended you in word, please forgive me. Okay? If I have said something to you or said something rude, please forgive me. Not yeah. All right, I got to stop that. Let's go back again. Since I have said things rude, okay. And so, since I have done things out of my mouth to offend you, please forgive me. All right, please. It's not if, because I know I've done it. All right, please forgive me. And so, and if you, since you have spoken words also, okay, y'all need to find people that you've spoken words to and ask forgiveness. This probably happens more so in close-knit families than it does in the world. You know, what y'all say to me matter a little bit, but what my wife says to me, that matters a lot. Husbands, what you say to your wives matters a lot, okay? And we need to treat them, each other. What we say to each other in the body, because we love deeply, words are easily made offensive. You know, and we need to be careful how we say things, when we say things, and what are the things that we say. Because God cares, and there will be a judgment day. Jesus said it in Matthew, remember? Every word that you say will be remembered on that day. Too many pages. Oh, there it is. Too many. And it's in Matthew that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. Every idle word. Just the word. They're idle. You're not even physically really trying to hurt somebody. You just let them fall out. You cast them to the ground like they're nothing. But they make a difference in people's lives. And so that's what James is saying in that little bit of scripture right there. So this week, as you go out on your work about weeks and the things that you're doing, be careful what you say. Thanksgiving's coming up, right? You're going to be sitting around the table with a lot of people. Be careful what you say. Let your words be full of grace, kindness, and truth. Okay? Sprinkled. You know, sprinkle lightly use your words. And so so that's all I'm going to talk about. Night, time's up. Ding! To your corners. And so anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, that you care about everything. Father, even the words that we use, the way that we say things, the way that we form thoughts through our vocabulary, Lord, we ask that you would guide those things. Father, that we would slow down before we just sling out a word. Lord, that you would help us to control our tongues. Teach us to edify and to build up and not to tear down or to degrade. And Lord, we just thank you and we trust you and we desire for that maturity, that growth in our tongue. And we thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.